Zenergy TV.
Hey everybody, Martin Zender here. Sorry for the lateness of yesterday's video. I've been traveling for the last couple of days, and the hotel I've been in, the internet has been very slow, very awful. Now that I know that, I can make an adjustment for it. But I didn't know it yesterday, and so you got the video late. And I'm always gonna apologize for that, because you expect the video at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, and by golly, you deserve to get it. In the Old Testament, there's a saying, God says that in your, forget which prophet said it, I'll put the verse here, in your wrath, remember mercy. Now, I'm gonna reverse that a little bit and say, in your mercy, remember wrath. Now, the wrath of God, be very careful here, because we in the body of Christ, we don't come into judgment, we don't taste of the wrath of God at all, because God gives us a little nudge of the elbow, gives us a realization of the truth, and we get it. We get the evangel. God made our hearts soft. He made us receptive to the Word of God. We can read it in the Scripture and get it. It is an amazing divine miracle that we have gotten the truth in this way. But other people are going to get it by more severe means. They're still going to get it. They're still going to come into a realization of the truth. But these are the ones who come into the truth later. Later. We are those of whom it is spoken. 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. That especially group is us. We're the believers, and we're the ones who respond to more gentle means, just by the announcement of the evangel, that God is no longer reckoning sins to us. In fact, we are declared righteous by Him. We get it from that. That is so rare. I need you to appreciate how rare it is, that it does not take a 2x4 across the head, a metaphoric 2x4, that is, to understand the grace of God. Now, during the tribulation, it's the day of the wrath of God, and it's always purposeful, the wrath of God. Don't get too nervous with that. The wrath of God will produce realization. And you may say, well, it's unfair that some people need the tribulation. Some people, it will only take the tribulation to end all their little crutches, all their little dependencies in this life, all their love of this eon. The majority of the human race loves this eon, and it's going to take the tribulation to drive that out of them, and then they're going to see the truth. No, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's just another way that God demonstrates his power. To them, God is merciful. To us, it's not a matter of mercy. It's a matter of grace. So, but even though we apprehend the grace of God, we sometimes forget that for the majority of the human race, it's going to take judgment. It's going to take shock therapy. That's what I want to call it this morning. I want to call it shock therapy. And I've spoken to you in the past of my conviction that after we are snatched away and the body of Christ is complete, then the wrath of God will come upon the earth. I know this is confusing too. People say, well, I thought God was conciliated to the world. Are you telling me that this conciliation that was won by Christ at the cross, God is no longer conciliated to the world? How can He still be conciliated to the world if He's bringing wrath upon the world? Well, that's a great question. I wrestled with that myself, but I found the answer in the Scripture. You can't undo the conciliation of the world. But the way I've come to understand it is, in order to demonstrate His power, God has chosen to reveal His plan of salvation, to reveal His absolute love by other means. And those means are judgment. The end result is that this judgment is going to bring these people to a realization of the truth. But again, this is all to make you appreciate your sensitivity to the mere word of God, to the declaration of the truth without 2x4s. It's the exception, not the rule. The rule is that this comes by judgment. and wrath. But again, the judgment and wrath is purposeful, and those who go through it and who get the truth that way, in the end, they're not going to complain, because they're going to live with eternity. They're going to live with God for eternity, perfect peace, perfect bliss. And just as we're going to look back on these trials of life and forget them, those people are going to look back on, you know, okay, bigger trials, the tribulation, and they're going to forget it. It's the birth pangs. They're going to forget it in light of the blessings that have come to them. So, yes, we are going to return. After we're snatched away, we're going to return to this earth to comfort our loved ones, to help them through. And that's the only part I've emphasized. But I want to emphasize a different part today. I haven't emphasized this yet, but I need to tell you this, because I need to prepare you for this. Remember, one of the examples I base my conclusion on, that we will come back to help our friends and our loved ones, even our enemies. That's what I can't wait for. I can't wait to appear in front of my enemies. But, and the template is Joseph and his brothers. Remember Joseph ended up blessing his brothers. They were scared to death. And you might call them his enemies. Yeah, of course, they were his enemies. They were scared to death that Joseph was going to kill them, or to make them his slaves, because he was number two in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. And when Joseph said, great verse, one of the greatest verses in scriptures, it illustrates so much truth. Genesis 50, verse 20, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There's the whole purpose of evil in a nutshell. Human beings mean it for evil, but God means it for good. For the brothers, it took a huge process of judgment, of fear, to bring them to an appreciation of what had become with Joseph and of how the true God is. Which is not to say Joseph didn't come through his judgments. I mean, look at your life. Yes, we're in the body of Christ. Yes, we responded to the word. But the trials we endured to get us to this place, and the trials we still endure, I mean, we're not immune to trial. We're not immune to our own little days of indignation. All right, I'm speaking figuratively. We don't come into indignation. We don't come into wrath. We don't come into judgment. But you know what I mean. In order to prepare us for our celestial roles, God puts us through some really tough times here. And we just have to accept it. So as you have accepted it for yourself, I need you, want you to accept it for your loved ones. So if the account of Joseph is any indication of how it's going to work when we come back to help our friends and loved ones and our enemies, there, once we appear before them, once they realize who we are, right? Joseph's brothers came to Egypt seeking the great man. They heard that there was this great man who had managed the foodstuffs of Egypt and was responsible for saving many nations during a great famine. They came to him. The peoples came to this great man. When they found out that the great man was their brother, they fell down and worshiped him, and they trembled before him. This is going to happen to you. Get ready for it. Your enemies and your friends, they're going to tremble, fall down, and worship you. But I remind you what happened with Joseph's brothers. Joseph needed to teach them a lesson. He needed to teach them of their treachery. He needed to expose their own hearts to themselves. In order to do that, for several months, he didn't reveal himself to them right away. I should have started with this. Go back a little bit. Joseph didn't reveal himself to his brothers right away. He put them through a series of trials. Remember, he sent them away with food, but he put his special cup in the sack of one of the brothers. And they found it later. Joseph sent soldiers after them, accusing them of stealing the cup. In other words, Joseph contrived a treachery against his brothers. Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to fully understand the treachery that they had done to him. And so he gave them, it's called what we call a taste of their own medicine. So your enemies will get a taste of their own medicine. They won't instantly be waltzing into a realm of happiness, knowing that you are now their benefactor, and you're going to help them through the tribulation. There's going to come some anguish to their hearts. It's all adjusted to the person. Your enemies are going to have to really go through a trial of some kind. And maybe this will happen before you are revealed to them. Maybe you'll just show up in their room as a great celestial being, and they won't know who it is. And then you will put them through a series of trials to make them realize what they have done, to make them realize their dark hearts. And I know God's ultimately responsible for their dark hearts, yeah, but God is also ultimately responsible for the revelation of their dark hearts to themselves. And they're going to realize that, oh, I've been terrible, I've been awful. Why didn't I see this? Why didn't I? It's all for their good. Don't worry, it's all for their good. Step by step by step by step, coming to a realization, the light bulb over their heads getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and then you're revealed to them. Could work that way. Could work that way as well. For the more delicate hearts, for those who are not evil, your friends and your family members, yeah, you can just show up in their room as a glorified immortal being and say, how do you like me now? I'm here to help. That alone will instantly, you see, just that will bring compuncture upon the delicate heart. And they will realize then that they missed a boat. Yeah, you missed a boat. Ultimately, God's responsibility, but speaking relatively, they're going to come to remember all the quote-unquote opportunities. Speaking relatively, you got to speak relatively here. They're going to realize all the times that they had the opportunity to come to the truth, all the times you presented it to them, and their hearts are going to be exposed to themselves, and they're going to realize, yeah, I didn't love the truth. I said I did. I thought I did, but I really didn't, because you brought me the truth, sender. You brought me the truth. I remember that day, and I rejected it. I thought you were crazy. So that alone will be their wrath. That alone will be their personal trial. That will be their Joseph's brothers' experience, and that will furrow them. That will furrow the ground. It will plow the ground. You see, the ground of these people has to be plowed in order for the Spirit of God to be planted. It was the same with us. Don't be upset that this has to happen with these people, because it happened with us. We had to have our ground plowed. We had to be prepared for the coming of this word. So even as I say that we were just brought to the truth by a nudge, it's not necessarily true for some of us. We had a long, hard, stubborn path, like Saul the Pharisee. Stubborn, stubborn, stubborn. And he got plowed over in one day. And when the Lord revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus, he said, I am the Lord whom you are persecuting. You know, you've been kicking against the goad a long time, Saul. And so Saul, he almost had a dual experience. He instantly felt the pang of all the mistakes he had done, all the people he had killed, all the condemning he had done, the judging. At the same time, he got the brightness of this revelation. I mean, what a day that was. By the time he got to Damascus, he would have had to take in a couple Alka-Seltzers or something, or like smoked a few cigarettes. His nerves were shot by that time. And he was blinded too. That was part of his judgment. Paul was blinded for 3 days. See, Paul didn't just like instantaneously. The dude was blind for 3 days. Even the inaugurator of our faith, well, Christ is the inaugurator of our faith, but I should say the bringer of the message, the human conduit of the message of the grace of God, had to be blind for 3 days. Why do you think that was? What do you think he thought about during those 3 days? I've been blind my entire life. That's what he thought about. I've been blind my entire freaking life. And so maybe your friends will be blinded for 3 days. Maybe your loved ones will. But you take them by the hand. Ananias took care of Paul. Ananias was the dude, the believer in Jesus Christ in Damascus, who received Saul post-revelation. And he ministered to Paul. But don't worry. You're going to be up to it. You're not going to be ruled by your emotions. You're not going to be a soulish creature anymore with a measure of the Spirit. You're going to be a spiritual creature, no longer ruled by the soul. So you're not going to be all emotional. You're not going to be all weepy. You're not going to be a mush ball. You are going to be very mature, filled with the Spirit, the full mind of Christ, and you're going to, via God, via Christ, you're going to intelligently render the wrath it takes. Remember, wrath can be measured. the wrath it takes, the realization it takes, the furrowing of the ground that it takes for them to fully realize, like Joseph's brothers eventually did, what they'd done, what they missed, and it's for their own good. And it doesn't matter at this point that God is responsible for all of it. Don't pull the absolute on me and get rid of the relative. You know, don't do that, please. I know this is all of God, and I know nobody can come apart from the Spirit of God. But as we walk this thing out, and as each individual member of the human race comes to realize the truth at different times, they do have to go through these processes. Their salvation is secure, always has been, since Calvary. The conciliation of God hasn't changed. He's still conciliated to them. The absolute love of God hasn't changed. God is always love. But that love cannot be appreciated in a hard heart, by a hard heart. That heart has to be plowed. This is going to happen for the majority of humanity at the great white throne. What I've just been describing to you in the last 15 minutes will happen to the majority of humanity when they are raised at the great white throne at the juncture between Aeon 4 and 5. That's going to happen for everybody. And for those who are alive at the coming of the tribulation, they're going to get a great white throne experience. Maybe they'll get it in 5 minutes when you show up in their room. Whatever God decides to do, however he decides to plow that heart, you're going to be in total acquiescence to it. You're going to be in perfect oneness with it. And you'll be at peace with everything God does. And so I want you to not be surprised if even your loved ones have to have that moment of angst, that moment of just like Peter did when he realized he denied Christ. This was one of Jesus's best friends, and he wept bitterly when he realized he had betrayed his Lord. But what happened after that? Restoration, baby. Always restoration following the judgment. Always. God's judgments are always purposeful. They always bring people to a realization of the truth because God is love, but they are necessary evil to produce the ultimate good.